Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, he has scattered abroad his gifts to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Now, he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed, and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You'll be made rich in every way, so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. Well, let's just pray for our response to God's word, which we've already heard, but continue to hear now in this part of his word, the Bible. Let's pray together. Father, we want to praise you and thank you that you have created all things, that you are outside all things, that you are with and through all things. You are so majestic and infinite that we should always be thankful to you, full of praise to you, wanting to be part of your work in your world. So we pray, Lord, that you would speak to each of our hearts this morning for the glory of Jesus. Amen. Well, now's the time I need those three volunteers. So stick up your hand. Those who want to come and sow at the back. If you didn't come down this time, do you want to come down this time? That's it. If you didn't come down last time, come down this time. And two at the back, I think. Down you come. Well done. Perhaps your parents are sitting up there because they don't want you to be involved at the front, but you've managed it this week. Come down to the front, and you need to be helping us ask this question as a congregation. If we're going to get a big harvest, how much seed do we need to sow? So if one of you takes that, and one of you takes that. I'm still waiting for somebody. I don't know who it was. Have they got lost on the way? This is definitely the best one to have. So you're going to... Well done. So hands up if you think that in order to get a really big harvest, we sow a little bit of seed. Hands up those who think, no? No, okay. Hands up if you want to get a really, really big harvest, we sow, some. Hands up? No. Okay. Hands up those who think if we want to get a really big harvest, we have to sow loads and loads of seed. Yeah, okay, great. We've got the right answer. Now, do you want to sow your seed? Off you go, Rebecca. Do you want to sow? And do you want to sow yours as well? And then do you want to sow yours? All of it. All that you've got in those, you might want to just take them and pour it out. That might be quicker. That's it. Right, okay. Brilliant. That's fantastic. Fantastic. Great. We might want to just do that a little bit. There we go. Spread it out a bit. Well done. Round of applause for our three volunteers. Back you go. Well done. Now, Paul begins with this principle. Do you see it in verse 8? Let's understand this together. Remember this. Sorry, it's not verse 8, is it? It's verse 6. Remember this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. We all know that, don't we? But Paul is not talking about sowing seed, although he's using that as an image. He's talking about giving money. Verse 7, each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Now, before we go any further, I just want to be clear about a number of things. We are thinking about giving today in the church family, but if you're a visitor here, there is no expectation whatsoever. Please just enjoy listening to this without any kind of need to respond here in terms of the church family. And if you wouldn't call yourself a Christian yet, the great news is that the Christian faith is a free gift. It's for free. It's not about giving money to get in with God. It's a free gift. And just to show you that, turn back to chapter 8, verse 9. I think it's just over the page. Because Paul is teaching this church in Corinth about the wonderful generosity of God. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich. You see, for a Christian, a swap has taken place. Our debt, our poverty, our sinfulness and uncleanness, the judgment that we deserve and hell, has been taken by the Lord Jesus Christ, who left heavenly wealth and glory and was born as a man and fully obeyed his Father and then died, taking that punishment on the cross for people who will trust in him. And he died with nothing. Even the clothes were taken from his body and gambled for. You see, a Christian is someone who has been given, a swap has taken place. Our debt and poverty and death and hell for the riches and grace and forgiveness and life of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a free gift. Isn't that good news? Now, I don't know if you've heard recently that the loan company Wonga, which lends money at the eye-watering interest rate of 5,000% per year, has been forced to cancel some of its debts. Don't know if you heard that last few days. Hardly very costly for it, though. You know, it's written off a few debts that people owe it. You know, totally hard up and oppressed by their debt. They've written it off. But it wasn't very costly. But for God to write off our debts took the death of his Son, Jesus Christ. It was a costly paying of our debts. People like you and me can be taken to heaven, given an inheritance that is the same inheritance that God gives to his Son, the Lord Jesus. And that transforms our attitude, if we're Christians here this morning, to money. And this is what Paul is teaching the Corinthian church. And he's encouraging Christians who, onto our next slide, I think, if it's a map that comes up. Macedonia is at the north of Greece, Corinth is at the south of Greece, and we know where Jerusalem is. So Paul is encouraging Christians who are in Corinth, and he's in Macedonia, and the Christians in Corinth have said, oh yeah, well, there's a lot of poor Christians in Jerusalem. We'll give you lots of money, Paul, next time you're here so that you can take it to relieve those poor Christians in Jerusalem. But Paul's not so sure that they're going to have their gift together. So he sends Titus on ahead with this letter to Corinthians, and in it he teaches the church to make sure that they get ready to give that gift when he arrives. But he teaches them there to give generously. They're to give sincerely in chapter 8, verse 8. And they complete their giving, chapter 8, verse 11, and according to their means, not according to what they don't have, not being hard-pressed, but cheerfully, joyfully. And we're all thinking, really? What, giving? Paul is encouraging Christians to give cheerfully and joyfully. How's that possibly going to happen? I mean, I quite like the idea of spending my money on X, Y, and Z. Or my pocket money on that new toy. And if I were to give some, I wouldn't be able to get that toy as quickly. How am I supposed to do that joyfully, cheerfully? Well, Paul teaches that we're to trust God for the harvest of righteousness, if we're Christians here this morning. And he says the same thing three times. So it must be important. See how he says it in the different ways he says it. Have a look at verse 8. See what he says to Christians? God is able to make all grace abound to you, the same kind of riches that he's shown in Jesus, so that in all things and at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in what? Your Lamborghini? No. Your big house? No. Your foreign holidays? No. Not that there's anything wrong with those things. In every good work. That's why God generously gives. Verse 10, see if you can see the same logic with me. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food, just like we've done a little bit up here, you know, God supplies the seed for farmers to sow the seed, will supply your store of seed. Well, what kind of seed is he talking about? Well, it's the seed which will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. God is generous to bring this harvest of righteousness. And then finally, in verse 11, you will be made rich in every way. Why? So that you can be generous on any and every occasion. Now, some of you might be thinking, John, this is starting to get a little bit close to what we know is a false gospel. What is the false gospel that these verses are often used to justify? Become a Christian and you'll become wealthy. It's not true, is it? But many people throughout the world are deceived by people preaching that from these verses. So it's wrong to say that God makes Christians wealthy because they're Christians. But it is equally wrong from these verses to say that God does not help Christians with wealth to do good works, to abound, to produce a harvest of righteousness. He is able to make all grace abound to us so that we can abound in good works and have a harvest of righteousness. Now, final time, we're going to have three volunteers. For those who are thinking, I really don't want another session of volunteering, but we've got three more volunteers, please. If you can cope with coming down to the front, otherwise I'll start to pick the adults. So there might be some nudging, you know, stick your hand up. Okay, so I want three volunteers, either children or adults. Now then, there's a little envelope there. There's an envelope with some here. And there's an envelope with lots. Okay, do you want to pick up your envelope? So who would like to give a little, to get a little bit of righteousness? You know, just a few people becoming Christians, a few people growing in their faith, a few poor Christians throughout the world being helped. Who would like to give a little? Who would like to give some? Who would like to give lots? Now, I'm not asking you to put your hands up. Can you see what Paul is arguing? If we want to see God's work prosper, people becoming Christians, people growing in their faith, the church being built up, poor Christians elsewhere in the world being sustained, it's a joy to give lots because we know that it will lead to a harvest. So do you three want to go out into the congregation? And one of you will be having to do it for quite some time because you've got a lot here to give out. And you'll be giving out some and you'll be giving out a little. Off you go. And anybody who wants to receive the vast sum of a penny or two penny, off you go. And you can be doing it over tea and coffee afterwards. A round of applause. And you'll see them probably later. What Paul is saying is that the principle is simply this. The more that we seek to give for good to God's people and God's work, the more he gives to us. Whether it's pocket money, pay packet, pension plans, portfolios. And so a challenge to us all here this morning. You can see if God proves true, can't you? You can see if you give whether he will continue to give to you so that you can give generously. I have to say, it's one of the aspects of the Christian life that I have found most surprising. That when as a family we have sought to give, we find that we have more to give. You see, Christians are not those who give in order for God to cancel our debt. We are those who've been richly given by God the wonderful grace in Jesus Christ. He cancels our debts. So that we can scatter abroad gifts to the poor. So that our love, like God's love, can keep going and going and going. And his love endures forever. Let's pray together. Go and sit down. You can do it later. Don't worry. Well done. Just go and keep the envelopes and then you can go and do more later. But let's just pray together. Father, we praise you and thank you that you are such a generous God. We see that in your Son, the Lord Jesus, though he was rich, became poor for us to know you. And Father, we praise you that you're the God of all creation who is able to give us all that we need generously and richly so that we can be generous to others. Increase our faith, we pray, and help us to give like you have given. Amen.
Thank you, John, for that. I'm rather loath to say this because there have been so many appeals for volunteers already.